Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome in to Outkick the Show. I'm your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I hope all of you are having fantastic Tuesdays, wherever you may be across this great country or this great land. I want to tell you right off the top, I'm going to give you some picks here in a little bit for the NBA playoffs that are going on tonight. But I want to encourage all of you right now, go subscribe to Prize Picks. And if you do so, using Outkick, you get up to a $100 match. That's NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, whatever the events of the day are. It's really simple. You just put in more or less on picks. You can win up to 10 times, 100 times your money. I'm going to give you a 10-to-1 payout. It doesn't matter what sport you love, whether it's Major League Baseball, whether it's the NBA, whether it's the NHL. Soon, it'll be the NFL. All that headed your way. There's even injury insurance in the event that one of your guys gets hurt. And in the meantime, you can get hooked up in a big way. All you have to do is use the code OUTKICK when you go to prizepicks.com. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, enormous selection of player and stat types. That helps make PrizePicks the number one fantasy sports app. I love to play. You can play as well. Pick coming. Download the app today. Use code OUTKICK. First deposit match up to $100. That's code OUTKICK on PrizePicks for a PrizePicks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy. PrizePicks.com. Code OUTKICK. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. All right, a bunch of different things. Katie, can you bring me up the Brittany Griner cover New York Times Magazine by the chair downstairs? Katie's been with me for almost a decade. She now does everything for me. She's fantastic. She used to take care of the kids, and now she is my Svengali, takes care of everything. Okay, we got a lot to dive into. Stormy Daniels' testimony today in the New York City Alvin Bragg case against Donald Trump. We have a reporter in Indianapolis, Greg Doyle, suspended 2 weeks for a Caitlin Clark question. He's not allowed to cover in-person Indiana Fever games. NBA ratings down 9% in the first round. Every other sport continues to grow, but the NBA. Disney stock tanks as streaming continues to take a massive, play a massive role in the collapse of many big media businesses. Brittany Griner, you just heard me asking about it on the cover of the New York Times Magazine. I think this is an instructive failure of sports media. Christy Noem lighting herself on fire everywhere, but we begin with the Stormy Daniels testimony. Stormy Daniels has been written about now for like 8 years. And yet this case in New York City, they now have her on the witness stand. I think soon there will be cross-examination. The Trump team has requested a mistrial because they said she testified to many different things that she otherwise should not have been able to be involved in. And so all of this is a huge mess as you break it all down. So the reason why I bring it up is, to me, this case is going to get tossed. The law on it is crazy, and I don't even think it's being talked about enough. This is a misdemeanor bookkeeping charge that has been elevated to a felony based on an as yet undefined and unproven second crime, which allows Alvin Bragg to turn a misdemeanor, which, by the way, is outside the statute of limitations, into a felony. This is occurring despite the fact that in over half of his cases as DA, Alvin Bragg actually drops felonies to misdemeanors. It's virtually unheard of for Alvin Bragg, who is an incredibly soft-on-crime district attorney, to be elevating any misdemeanor to a felony. So this is a big part of the discussion in general. But to me, what this also reflects is the complete failure of the media to even explain the most basic elements of this issue. Katie, we got details on my schedule here that I'm going to share with Katie. So we don't have to be there for the ad call. You guys don't always know. My days are just one series of fire drill after another. When you do as much live media as I do, I started off the day with live media. I think this is like the sixth different show that I've already done today. I did Piers Morgan's show earlier. I've got Hannity theoretically tonight. I'm going to do like seven or eight different shows. I got advertiser calls. Every day is just an absolute frenzy. Sidebar there. And everything must happen right now. This is what live media is like. It would be an interesting behind-the-scenes story for you guys to see sometime what actually goes on when it comes to putting on 3 hours a day of live radio, this show, all the content that OutKick does, all of the additional shows and responsibilities and obligations. But on the Stormy Daniels front, I wanted to read this. She's told so many different stories over the years that discerning what the actual truth is virtually impossible at this point because, again, she has said so much that has been proven to be untrue. And let me hit you with this. On January 30th, 2018, Stormy Daniels released this official statement. To whom it may concern, over the past few weeks, I've been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I am not denying this affair because I was paid, quote, hush money, as has been reported in overseas-owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram at the Stormy Daniels. January 30th, 2018. She now, having told like five or six different stories, is testifying that she actually did have a sexual relationship with Trump when he was a private citizen. Now, this goes to the essence, and this is why I think at least one juror might be persuaded by this argument. You might be like, okay, what exactly are you arguing here? Alvin Bragg's entire harebrained legal scheme relies on the fact that they are trying to elevate a misdemeanor to a felony, a bookkeeping misdemeanor to a bookkeeping felony, based on what is, relatively speaking, a violation of something having to do with election codes. Not state election codes necessarily, maybe. We don't know because the exact second crime hasn't been explained. But that this was a felony because essentially they were trying to hide the fact that this happened. Remember, hush money is not illegal. Trump actually paid hush money for something that is reportedly untrue, which was that he had fathered a child illegitimately, that somebody was trying to sell that story. Trump paid for that story not to go public. And that's why I come back to this argument, and it actually seems to me very legitimate. As rich as he is, if Trump knew that somebody was going to allege that he had a sexual relationship with them, even if it was not true, he might be willing to pay to avoid family embarrassment as he did for the alleged story about the child that was not his from out of marriage. In other words, he had paid to keep a false story before from going public. I'm not sure whether or not he slept with Stormy Daniels. I don't particularly care. But there is a strong argument that this was not done based on the election, that this was done because Trump didn't want this story to be out there because it was negative, defamatory, and embarrassing overall for his family. That's typically why hush money is paid, so-called hush money, is to avoid the embarrassment of the story, not to influence an election. So I think it's not crazy for there to be a juror out there who buys into this and says, whatever you may think about this, it's not a crime, and it's certainly not a felony. That's how I would rule if I was on this jury right now. And in fact, if you look at the betting markets say Trump is favored to be convicted here, but now it's only 75-25. The odds of Trump being found not guilty, I don't mean the entire jury agreeing. I think it's more likely, you might have heard Buck and I talking about this, that there would be a mistrial or that someone would refuse to convict. There is increasingly a decent chance, as the odds continue to climb, that Alvin Bragg's not even going to get a conviction in this case. And can you imagine if after all the lawfare, they even swing and miss on this garbage case because Washington, D.C., South Florida, Atlanta, none of them are going to trial before the election. This is it. This is the one bite at the proverbial felony apple for Democrats, and it may not even work out. I may surprise you with this take. And when we share a shorter version of this, I would encourage you guys to use any of the audio or video of the question that we have. Greg Doyle is a columnist for the Indianapolis, I believe it's the Indianapolis Star, the main newspaper in Indianapolis. He's written awful things about OutKick before. He is not a fan of me. He's not a fan of OutKick. He's not a fan of any of our employees. But I'm going to stand on principle here. There are reports that Greg Doyle has been suspended 2 weeks for his question of Caitlin Clark in her press conference, and that he is not going to be allowed to cover the WNBA's Indiana Fever based on his kind of embarrassing, I'm trying to make a heart gesture. Obviously, I don't spend much time doing it. Anyway, the heart gesture that Caitlin Clark would make for her family. Greg Doyle asked cringeworthy question of Caitlin Clark at the press conference where she became an Indiana Fever member, was ripped to shreds during by the internet, wrote a column apologizing and basically trying to explain himself, got ripped to shreds even more over that. And now the report is that he has been suspended 2 weeks and he isn't allowed to cover the games. Greg Doyle regularly rips OutKick. He's ripped me. He's ripped a lot of our employees. But I think this is the wrong result. He didn't commit a crime. He didn't do anything that is completely unacceptable. He just asked a really awkward question in a press conference. I don't think the standard for asking inappropriate or even offensive questions should be that you get suspended from your job as a reporter and as someone who makes a living as an opinionist. Again, if you commit a crime, if you behave in some way that is a violation of your contract, I'm not saying that you cannot be punished, but the standard for a reporter shouldn't be reporter asks question that makes people uncomfortable and therefore reporter is suspended from their job. The job of a reporter is to ask questions. People wanted OutKick suspended from all media outlets for asking whether or not Dawn Staley and others believe that men identifying as women should be able to participate in women's athletics. Some of you may remember, some of you may have initially found me back when I asked Tim Tebow whether he was saving himself for marriage. Some of you may remember, I've been in press conferences and got into a testy exchange with Titans officials. I've had a lot of interviews where guests have hung up on me before because they didn't like the questions that I was asking. Not every question is going to be perfect. Not every question is going to play perfectly. I don't think the standard should be if a reporter asks a question that the internet decides they don't like, that reporter should be suspended from their job and that reporter shouldn't be able to cover a team or an athlete anymore. I don't like that standard because once you set that precedent, then somebody is sitting around trying to determine what is and what is not an appropriate question for a reporter to ask. I don't particularly think that Greg Doyle is great at his job. He's ripped out, kicked to the high heavens. I don't think this is the right result. I'm going to defend him here. I don't think any reporter, and there are a lot of reporters who've asked, I think, a lot of stupid questions and a lot of awkward questions and a lot of cringe questions. And some people, some of you might think that's me. Some of you might think that's other OutKick writers. Some of you might think that's other reporters. I don't like the standard of you asked a question, it went viral for the wrong reason, and as a result, you're suspended. I think the Indianapolis Star got this wrong. I think Greg Doyle, whether you like him or not, is being treated inappropriately here. If you want to fire somebody because they don't read his columns or because he violates his contract in some way, I'm okay with that. But I don't think you should get suspended for asking a question that the internet decides they didn't like. So I'm defending Greg Doyle here. I may be the only freaking person on the entire internet who defends Greg Doyle. Other stories. Disney stock right now is down over $10 as the streaming messes continue to plague media companies everywhere. And I shared this on social media, but this is pretty wild. If you had bought Disney stock 9 years ago, the stock price is below where it was 9 years ago right now. So even leaving aside the crazy inflation that we've seen, and even leaving aside the dividends, even if you roll all that in, you have lost money by simply buying and holding Disney stock for the last 9 years. Meanwhile, Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, has made hundreds of millions of dollars. So the only people that have made money are not the shareholders, not the people who have invested the money in Disney, but the actual executives like Bob Iger who banked hundreds of millions of dollars while actual shareholders have not made money. And one reason the stock price has tanked is certainly cord cutting, which one reason the stock price is down so much is cord cutting even accelerated to surprise people. In the second quarter, ESPN's profit collapsed. The overall revenue, really it's the theme parks that are saving Disney from complete disaster right now, even keeping it the same price for the last 9 years. Also a study out, 71% of Disney consumers want Disney to do away with the LGBTQIA inclusion obsession at the expense of the actual stories. 71%. That's a lot. Makes sense to me. I'm a parent. I don't want Disney to try to indoctrinate my kids. I just want them to put on good movies. When I was a kid growing up, I don't know what the subtext of Lady and the Tramp was. I don't know what the subtext of Cinderella was. I don't know what Fantasia was attempting to share with me other than Disney made really good animated movies. Aladdin, Lion King, Little Mermaid. I liked Peter Pan was my favorite growing up. These are not political movies. Why does a kid's movie need a subtext? Why does it need an overt message about anything other than entertaining people? And so to me, this is a failure of Disney. It's a failure of Bob Iger, and it's a continued example of Disney lighting money on fire. I think they are lighting money on fire when it comes to their extension of the NBA. Because NBA ratings in the first round of the playoffs down 9% over last year. Every other sport continues to set records. On ESPN itself, playoff game in hockey, 12-year high for first round ratings. Hockey on ESPN up 17% over last year when it came to playoff ratings. You look at Caitlin Clark and what she did for women's college basketball all-time highs. Men's and women, men's first and second round of the NCAA tournament set all-time highs. 35-year high going all the way back to 1989 for the Kentucky Derby, which just happened. Super Bowl most watched football game in history just happened. Everything is skyrocketing in viewership, and the NBA is down 9% in the first round. That's why I think the company, particularly Disney, but also Warner Brothers Discovery, they're wildly overpaying for an NBA product that isn't delivering audience now and is likely to continue to deliver lower audience going forward. I would bet for you that the second round audience is going to be down in a big way, because last year you had LeBron and Steph going head-to-head in a six-game series. I don't think anything is going to rate anywhere near as high as it did last time. Okay, let me give you my picks. PrizePicks.com, code OutKick. You can get up to $100. Nobody's watching, but you can at least make money. If we hit on these four picks, it pays off at 10 to 1. Darius Garland, more than 15.5 points. Jason Tatum, less than 27.5 points. Luka, less than 32.5 points. Kyrie Irving, more than 24.5 points. If we hit on this, $10 becomes $100, $100 becomes $1,000, and you can nearly triple still if three out of the four of these hit. Darius Garland, more. These are all points, making it easy at prizepicks.com, code OutKick. Jason Tatum, less. Luka less, Kyrie more, all of those, get your picks in. Two mores, two lesses, prizepicks.com. You put in $100 using code OutKick, you get back $100. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. I want to talk about Kristi Noem for a minute. Some people are mad at me. They say, oh, I don't know why you're being so critical of Kristi Noem. She's a Republican. And I say to some of you out there, are you new to me? Have you not recognized that I don't know that anybody is more critical of, for instance, Tennessee coaches than me because I want to win? Fans understand this. You do sports talk radio. I'm a huge University of Tennessee fan. I have donated lots of money to the University of Tennessee. I want them to win every game. But when coaches or players do a poor job, I talk about it. When opponents of Tennessee have kicked our ass over the years, I give them praise and I talk about it. That's what being honest with your audience is. I'm not a propagandist. I will call it like I see it. I've been very favorably disposed recently, sometimes to Fetterman, sometimes to RFK Jr. Yes, I think Joe Biden is the worst president in any of our lives. But if I thought he was doing an amazing job, if I thought he was doing a Bill Clinton-like job, and I don't mean sleeping with an intern, I would tell you, hey, you know what? Economy's doing decently. He's doing great. He's not. He's a disaster. Kristi Noem's a disaster. I don't understand who is advising her. I didn't talk, I don't think, that much on this show about the crazy dog story that she put into her autobiography. So I'm just going to leave that on the side. But how in the world, in your autobiography, do you end up saying that you met Kim Jong-un, North Korea's dictator, who basically never leaves North Korea, without you or someone on your staff catching it? Look at this book right here, American Playbook. It's the most recent book that I wrote. I'm responsible for every word in it. Unlike a lot of celebrities, I actually write my own book. I sat down for several hours every day and I hammered out this book. I did all the edits and I did the voice audiobook version. If you go buy just the audiobook version, you can hear me read this entire book. In order to do that, I had to sit in a studio for parts of 3 days, I think. And I read every word in this book for 4 or 5 hours a day for 3 straight days. That is brutal. You have to pronounce every word correctly. You have to read with the right inflection. It is really hard to do. And I'm not just saying that because I did it. I'm saying it because when you do it, you have to read every word, and sometimes you look at it and you're like, ah, man, I screwed up that paragraph. I could have written that sentence better. This doesn't flow as well as I had hoped. This argument doesn't tie together. You have to be directly confronted with the book you wrote. And sometimes you're jotting down notes. There were several facts that I noticed, and I was like, hey, I think that's a mistype. Hey, I got that number a little bit wrong. I'm not claiming that this book is perfect. I'm sure there are words that I got wrong. I'm sure there's lots of grammar that I screwed up. But I'm telling you, I worked really hard at it. And when you read your actual book, you see everything. So when Kristi Noem said she met Kim Jong-un, there's only two ways that could happen. One, she intentionally lied and she didn't care. That's a possibility. She thought she could get away with it. Two, she's too dumb to realize that she couldn't get away with it because she didn't even think about the fact that Kim Jong-un has probably only met 5 American politicians ever because he doesn't leave North Korea. We know he met Trump. I can't remember. Maybe he met Madeleine Albright. Maybe he has met somebody else in the Secretary of State's office. Bill Richardson back in the day was a hostage negotiator. Maybe he's met her. Met him. We know he met Dennis Rodman, not a politician. But almost no one has met Kim Jong-un. She read that she had, and they didn't correct it till the book was already prepared to come out. And then they suddenly said, oh, wait, we misspoke. Since then, she's been going on all of these different television programs. Right now, she's doing a tour of Fox News. She did tours over the weekend trying to promote the book. And she looks like a crazy person. She just got into a battle with Stu Varney. Buck rightly said, he's like British Mr. Rogers. She has lit herself on fire. I can't think of a political book that someone has ever written that has ended their national political career. But Kristi Noem, I believe, has no chance to be the VP pick now. And I think she's disqualified herself. And she was strongly in the mix. And I think could have been the pick, except for the fact that she has lit herself on fire. So this is a big story. And I'm not going to tiptoe up to it just because she happens to be a Republican. When Republicans or Democrats do dumb things, I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to analyze it. And if you just want propagandists to sit around and only say good things about your side, I'm not your guy. There's other people who will do that. That's not me. Never has been, never will be. To me, this is like being state-sponsored radio. If you put the team on right after the team played a crappy game and you don't talk about the fact that the team played a crappy game, to me, why would I ever trust you? All I'm going to do is tell you exactly what I think, no matter what. Can be good for Democrats, bad for Democrats, good for Republicans, bad for Republicans, can be good for independents, bad for independents. This is what I pledge to you. Same thing I've always pledged. All right, I saw this. This is the Sunday New York Times Magazine. And I'm going to hold it up for you here in a sec. Brittany Griner's journey out of Russian captivity and back to herself, unbroken. Cover story, cover art. Can you guys see that? Brittany Griner. How is this justified? I don't know that anybody else will even talk about this with you, but she gets a photo shoot. She gets a 10,000-word piece written about her because she broke the law in Russia and went to prison, and then we gave up the merchant of death to get her back. This is a perfect representation of identity politics. The only reason Brittany Griner is not still in a Russian prison is because she is a black gay woman and she ranks highly in the oppression Olympics and the victimization pyramid. Even when she's in the wrong, she still gets cover articles that are insanely positive and a flattering cover story. She broke the law in Russia. If she hadn't broken the law in Russia, she would have never gotten this hagiographic piece written about her in the New York Times Magazine. Have they written a front page cover story about any of the five American captives that were taken by the Hamas terrorists? I haven't seen it. Has the New York Times Magazine even written those five people's name? Paul Whelan's a Marine, former Marine, in captivity now in Russia. He says he never committed a crime. She's in the wrong. She admits that she committed a drug crime. Why should there be a huge puff piece of her when there are actual American captives who have done no wrong at all? Think about the five Americans still held by Hamas. I hope they're still alive. One of them lost his arm in a completely innocent, from his perspectives, attack. He is an innocent victim. He's not on the cover. They're not writing about the five actual captives of Hamas. They're writing about the black gay basketball player who committed a crime in Russia, and because she was black and gay and a woman, they made the decision in the Biden White House to trade the merchant of death for her. This is an example of what actual propaganda media does. Why is she heroic? Why is she courageous? Why is she worthy of a profile? Only because she committed a crime in Russia. She wouldn't have been written about if she had just not committed a crime. She elevates herself in the oppression Olympics and the pyramid of victimization by actually committing a crime, and then they do this hagiographic profile when they're actually ignoring true captives who have done nothing wrong and haven't committed crimes. This is an example of black, gay, female privilege. Not held to account for the crime, considered to be a victim, traded for the merchant of death, probably the worst trade ever. And the New York Times Magazine, to my knowledge, and I try to read it and pay attention to it, I don't think they've even named the five American hostages being held by Hamas right now. Failure, propaganda, worthless media. This is where we are. Love all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. I am Clay Travis. This has been Outkick the Show. I'll be live with you tomorrow. Look forward to it then.